Not the right chords, but I kind of could make it work. We can try it again when the music's out. Here we go. Oh, I want to take you home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, we're gonna let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make that rockin' world go round. All right. What'd you say about karaoke, Lou?
Oh, that's payback for Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Well, yeah. What did you say when you went to go do karaoke?
I went to karaoke and I told the guy, I says, dude, I want to sing so bad. And he says, I've heard you. You do.
Yeah, I think the proper answer would be no. That's what karaoke means in Japanese, is to sing bad, badly. So, Freddie Mercury, are you a fan?
Yeah. Freddie Mercury, great singer, great writer, producer. Mm-hmm. You give him an 8-ball of cocaine and he'll produce like the greatest album on earth.
An 8-ball of cocaine and a young Filipino male.
Okay.
And maybe a female too, you know. I mean, he was not biased. He participated in all the fruits of human sexuality.
Yeah, he was not choosy, or dare I say, he's just really greedy.
Yeah, I think he probably was choosy, but he was a rock star, so he had a lot to choose from. And he chose, you know, the top of his pile is like 20 normal men's, you know, whole lifetime or something. So
It's a joke I heard about Brad Pitt that he was going to be having an engagement with Angelina Jolie and a Victoria's Secret supermodel, and that was the highlight of his week. So darn you, Brad Pitt.
I was going to talk about rock and roll, but I'll save the crazy stories for the second hour. What do you have coming up and what should people know about it? I'm excited and I'm not even going to be there.
Okay. What we have coming up is the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan. That's just outside of Kalamazoo, not too far away from Battle Creek. So you can get all your cereal because that's what the Kellogg's factory is.
I have toured the Battle Creek, Michigan Kellogg's cereal factory. When I was a little kid, I was visiting a friend of mine. It was this kid that lived next door to me, and his dad worked for Welch's Foods. And then he got a better job at Smucker's, which I think is somewhere around there in Michigan. And he went and probably sold all the trade secrets from Welch's to Smucker's because he was a, you know, executive in the science department or something. And he got me and my friend Peter in as, you know, like the secret tour, like not everybody can just go do it. And we toured the Battle Creek, Michigan cereal factory of Kellogg's. I was really excited because I was a huge fan of cereal up until I was about, 40.
Did you pet Tony the Tiger?
No, they keep him in a bamboo cage in the back, man.
Yeah, I don't know about Welch's and Smucker's. Everything is Kellogg's. Nothing else exists. But anyway, So we got the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest coming up. It starts Friday at 10 a.m. on August 22nd, and it goes until noon on Monday, August 25th.
Wow.
So that's like a super long weekend of rocking out and having a good time. Current prices are $45 for adults. I can't remember how much it is for kids, but it's less. And that price is good until the 15th. So the price, just a little bit on the 15th. But get on out there. There's going to be some fiends there. There's going to be enough fiend hosts there to make it exciting, but not enough to warrant a drone strike.
It's kind of like Pork Fest with more brutalism, right?
Actually, I'd have to say that it's a little bit more on the humanitarian side.
Actually, let me rephrase this. I don't like what's termed as brutalism because it seems like being mean to people. And what I think it is macho libertarian flash that takes a left turn and goes into schoolyard bullying. I'm all for macho libertarian flash. You know, if someone says, do you think that marijuana should be decriminalized? I'm like, No, I think that but I also think that, you know, heroin and Crocodril should be freely available in vending machines as long as they're privately owned and operated. I think that kind of stuff that scares the old people is okay, but I don't really like the, like, being mean to people. I think that it's a misunderstanding of freedom and macho libertarian flash. But go on.
Yeah, there won't be any meanness going on. I mean, there might be a little bit of violating the non-agitation principle around the campfire at night, but really it's a very warm, friendly crowd.
Yeah.
You take the warmth and friendliness that you had at Porkfest, and I think it's a little bit warmer and friendlier.
Are your hippies going to be there?
Yes, my hippies will be there, and God only knows what kind of artwork they're going to create I'm asleep or away from the salt kitchen.
On you, yeah. Yeah, like, you know, frat boys will, like, draw dirty words on your face when you fall asleep. The hippies will, like, turn your whole campground into art whether you want it to be or not while you're asleep, and it's really cool art.
But it'll be pretty art. But there'll be plenty of macho libertarian flashers exposing their liberty to people there, and it's just gonna be a really good time. Now the property's huge. It's a monster. It's private property. So
didn't it used to be like Freddie Mercury's like where he kept his bracelets? Like it was the warehouse, the area where they had the warehouse where he kept his bracelets. It was like 29,000 acres or something.
It could have been. I'll have to Google that. But there's a big giant lake there, and it's a nice little hike to get down to the lake. It's about a mile. There's plenty of trails. So if you're coming, bring your mountain bikes if you like, or bring your walking shoes.
Are there contrails?
who knows? There is a sky up above, so maybe there is.
There will be. Anyway. When you get four morphines together, they have to get crop dusted by the government, I think.
Yeah. But they have canoes that are complimentary to you. So if you want to go out on the lake and do some canoeing, there's this big giant raft that you can swim out to. And
you just have to compliment. You compliment the people and they let you borrow the boat.
Yeah. 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 You go up to the boss man or bossish type guy and say, "Hey, Tom, you're a nice guy. Can I use that canoe?" And he'll be like, "Yeah, sure. Have at it."
Excellent.
But plenty of hiking trails. All sorts of neat stuff, and there's going to be a lot of cool people there. Will Coley's going to be speaking. Christian Saucier, the French dog, Boudou.
Yay.
He'll be speaking.
In French? You know, I think since you guys are so close to Michigan, you should legally require that he do his speech in English and then in French. Maybe paragraph by paragraph, or maybe the speech and then the whole speech in French.
Or just, like, alternate every other word.
Yeah, man, I like that. I like that a lot. You're gonna be live pod broadcasting from there too, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah. We can play the game of Fiends live and in person.
I know. I was booking Fiends for the next 3 months. You know, we're getting to the end of the 3 months we've booked, and I was booking co-hosts for the next 3 months. And nobody could do that Sunday night, Monday morning, because everyone's there except me. So it's going to be just recordings of my cats for 2 hours.
Yeah, and if I had to, I could do Monday night, but I have stuff the next day. I have a training session. I got physical therapy.
The walls will still be melting by then.
Yeah, yeah. And the Liberty Fest is sponsored by Beast Lick Wyoming Bison Hair.
Yeah, yeah. Fuzzy, I don't have any more bison hair. We got to wait for the shipment. Did you hear Fuzzy?
Yeah, I heard Fuzzy. Hey, Fuzzy.
Derek J calls him Fluffy. Yeah, what's your cat's name? Fluffy.
Yeah. Oh, that is no. He's fuzzy.
He's very fuzzy.
I guess he could be kind of fluffy, because I've seen pictures of him. But he's more fuzzy than fluffy, though.
He's more fuzzy. Yeah, he's not like a Persian. Thanks. And he spends a lot of time grooming too. And he's doing this new thing now. Well, it's new to me. I've never noticed him doing it. DJ says she's heard him do it a bunch, but when he's grooming himself and licking himself all over, he sucks on his belly to try to, like, get the hairs straight on it. And it sounds like somebody drinking the last couple drops out of a wine skin. It's kind of like,
really?
It's a very uncat-like sound. Oh, you do that too?
Yeah.
We call Fuzzy a wine skin, because he'll come in and drink water and just drink and drink and drink. And we say, Fuzzy, are you filling your wine skin? Because he's kind of shaped like a wine skin.
Does he have a little camel hump on his back?
No, but Barack Obama is a socialist, a liar, and his feet stink. I'm required to say that every hour to stay on talk radio. It's true, though.
Hey, he puts the execution in the executive branch.
There you go. Yeah, so I don't want to talk about who he's killing today. I want to hear more about the Michigan Peace and Liberty Fest, which is, what are the dates again?
It is August 22nd. That's Friday at 10 a.m. until Monday, August 25th at 12 noon. And to round up your friends and family and register them, go to miplc.org. That's Mike, India, Papa, Lima, Charlie.
You do that so well. It sounds like you've had some experience speaking in that tongue.
Yes, I practiced it before the show. but yeah, it is going to be an awesome time. Be there or be square.
Yeah, don't be square, man. Governments are so square. Be the opposite. So that's a week from tomorrow that it starts, huh?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Fascinating.
And I'm doing the Wednesday night show. I'll get done, take a nap, and I'm off the next day. So I'll get up, go out there, start setting up and getting everything ready. And then Friday morning, the fiends will be coming in, and there's a lot of fiend fans are going to be out there. So yeah, it's kind of like a fiend fan family reunion.
Are you the emperor and lord and master of this event?
No, I'm just some schmuck that's going to be cooking in a fancy camp kitchen.
Tell me about your assault kitchen for those who are just tuning in and are curious.
Okay, the assault kitchen. It's a 10x10 easy up, and yeah, I'm still trying to find that mesh screen netting to put around it to keep the bugs out. I definitely could use that.
Oh, they add protein, man. Come on. Don't keep them out of the mix.
Well, I don't mind getting the food. It's just they take protein away from me when they're constantly biting me.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I got this really nice kitchen set up, and it's like these work tables, you know, it unfolds.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah. Right. It's unbelievable. I got more counter space on that than I do in my kitchen at home.
You could feed an army, and you actually used to. You used to be a cook in the U.S. Army, huh?
Yeah, and I fed an army of fiends at Fiend Fest, a little inside event at Pork Fest.
Do cooks in the army carry guns?
Oh, yeah.
Cooks in the Fiends army carry guns.
Oh, yeah.
I saw you. All right, we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends live musical talk radio extravaganza after this trip to the massage parlor. I mean, the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives. Fiends. You there, Lou?
Oh, yeah. I'm here, brother.
Is it a good night for you?
Oh, it's a darn good night. I'm ready to drop some mad scientists, but after I do, I'll clean it up because I'm not some dirty ANCOM.
Did you say drop some mad scientists or some mad science?
I meant science, but I probably said scientists.
I'm ready to drop some mad scientists. They make me so mad. Knowledge, all that book learning angries up my blood. No, I actually like science a lot. I just don't like it when it's used as a weapon on people, as it mostly is, because the government took all the good scientists who were supposed to build us flying cars in the private sector, and they instead made flying robots that kill brown people and spy on everybody. So you know what I did today? I had a great day, but you know what I did today? You know what DJ and I did today, Lou?
What did you do today?
We booked our hotel for Porkfest.
Wow. Have they opened up registration for next year?
You can't register at Rogers until after January 1st. So January 1st, there's going to be a bunch of hungover people calling Rogers. But and we don't have the money yet to book the airline tickets. That's probably going to be in a few months. But yeah, we booked our hotel. It's pretty cool. I'm pretty psyched about it because that's the one thing that fills up the most. You know, it's a lot more of a limited thing than airline flights or car rentals. There's always some of those somewhere.
So are you going to stay kind of close, or are you going to be a far enough distance away that you don't have to smell gummy shrooms at night?
Yeah, that. I don't say where we stay because, you know, for security purposes. But, yeah, it's not the one that you can stumble to drunk from the campground.
Okay, so it's not within like 30 miles then.
No, yeah, it takes about 30 minutes to get there. All right, so what is going on this weekend? Tell me more about the Michigan Peace and Liberty Festival.
Okay, well, it's next weekend, but anyway, as I mentioned in the first segment, it's going to be a very good time. There's a lot of activities. There's going to be a few people doing presentations. Will Coley's is going to be on how liberty brings us together and the history of liberty. So it's, I think it's the same one they did at Pork Fest, but also Christian, Diana's boyfriend, will be doing one on, I believe it's liberating yourself through entrepreneurship.
Yeah, nice.
Or something to that effect. I don't know. It could be how to grow green beans at the North Pole.
In a closet,
it sounds similar. But anyway, yeah, there's just going to be all kinds of good stuff. There's going to be some cryptocurrency discussions, and there's going to be a couple guys doing left libertarianism, so basically voluntary socialism. And
that's good if they keep it voluntary and keep me out of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not nasty like that.
They had some of that at Porkfest, too, but it was like in a tent somewhere. It wasn't on a big, stage. Those people from Richmond, those gun-toting, unshowered hippies from Richmond, Virginia came down.
Yeah, I think that was part of Alt Expo or something like that. Yeah. But anyway.
Good for them.
Yeah. So if you don't have somebody to come with, don't worry about it.
You'll leave with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always a possibility. I read an email on the show, I think it was on Easter when I was on with you and Ben, and it was from Arnie, who was our constitutional anarchist. And he talked about how he wound up finding out about the group and also the First Fest. And he had seen a cop block door hanger on FaceSpace. Somebody had a picture of it. And he's like, hey, that's cool. Where do I get it? And I think it was either Danny or Katie, a couple of the central planners of the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition. They sent him a message, said, hey, you go to this festival and we're going to be having this like the night before, two nights before. So he just completely went outside of his comfort zone, got registered up, and went on out there, and he set up this big old-fashioned tent, and it's old, big and old-fashioned, and he's old-fashioned, but not very big. But, he went out there. He had a good time. He didn't know anybody. And the thing that I really liked is people, when they got there, folks would go up, introduce themselves, and shoot the bull, offer to help set up tents if they needed it. And it's just a really friendly family type atmosphere. It's a very voluntary atmosphere. Here, have some voluntarism.
Nice.
And it's exactly the opposite of what you hear these goofy statists say libertarian is, or libertarianism is. Because to them, they say, well, libertarianism is I got mine, screw you. But statism is screw you, I got yours.
I like having a bit of hippie flavor in my anarchism, in my anarcho-capitalism. Because otherwise, if you're devoid of the hippie flavor, it's like, Ayn Rand, which isn't that far from Rand Paul, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking it's of
Mr.
hippie
Burns.
Flavor.
It's Mr. Burns libertarianism, without the hippie stuff.
And speaking of hippie flavor, Jason and Mary will be out there creating art and
creating hippie flavor.
Doing whatever hippie stuff they do. Hippies
saturating
did it.
Your world with hippie flavor.
Hippies will do it.
All right. Yep, we'll be back. We're going to go sell some stuff in the free market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
I got a ourselves before the next show. Can I get a meow and a worms, please, Lou?
Meow. Worms.
All right.
You can see it, but I was doing like the stoner skank in my chair.
What
even
is
though
that?
I'm not a stoner. It's just kind of like swaying back and forth, but I'm not a stoner. I've been a stoner since like the mid-80s.
I haven't heard the term skank for anything, for a dance, since like the 80s. Like, you know, it was a punk rock kind of shuffle, you know when you're going around in the circle but not really slamming. It was kind of influenced by like Jamaican dance or something. Is that where you've heard it before?
Actually, I think Pauly Shore talked about it. I think he calls it the stoner skank, weasel skank, I don't know, monkey skank, whatever. But it's Pauly Shore. Who remembers that?
I'm writing to Nima Vidotti.
Ah, Nima.
Yep. So
the long lost fiend.
Yeah. The guy who quit the Fiends because he had no time. And I think that guy's done more interviews in the past 3 months than he's doing interviews all the time. It's awesome.
Yeah. I really like Nima, but I've never spoken to him outside of the show. Just like when I called in to do reports or like did a call in on, you know, the older show. So, yeah, I've never chit-chatted with him outside. And he's somebody I'd like to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's going to go to Porkfest next year. He and his family, his wife and kid, hopefully.
Oh, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yep. Yep, I am. We did book our hotel rooms today. I'm so happy about that. It really felt like, a big step forward in committing to something that I want to do. Not really committing. It's not like we need to commit. It's more like hotels sell out, man. So we want a good choice and, you know, have a good room and stuff.
Well, as soon as the campsite has become available, I'm getting one of the double sites with the canopy and
January
the electricity 1st,
man.
And the water.
January 1st. You have to set your alarm and get up January 1st. What day of the week is January 1st this year? Let's look it up.
I don't know. I'll stay up all night for that one. As a matter of fact,
it's a Thursday.
I'll camp outside the Ticketmaster for that one.
The Ticketmaster. Yeah, it's a Thursday. You can call him from your lunch break on Thursday, on January 1st.
Did you ever do that, camping outside of a Ticketmaster for concert tickets back in the 80s or 70s?
No, because I never really I have been to thousands of concerts in my life, but most of them were in bars, you know, places you don't have to camp out for tickets. And most of the time I didn't even pay to get in. I was either playing or worked at the bar or was friends with one of the bands. I mean, I've been to like 4 shows of people bigger, you know, that were more than like 1,000 people, or maybe 6 shows. And only like, I've only been to, if you don't count Grateful Dead shows, which I never camped in line for tickets because I never really wanted to go to Grateful Dead shows. I just knew people were like, hey, I got an extra ticket. You want it? I'm like, okay.
Are there actually tickets for Grateful Dead shows, or people just like walk in and like start stoner skanking?
People just walk through the walls. I actually saw a guy run through a plate glass window to get into a Dead show on New Year's Eve 1 year. And it was like minutes before midnight. Like, I think this guy was just tripping his brains out, couldn't stand the thought of not being inside at midnight on New Year's Eve. And I was talking to my girlfriend. We took a break and we're walking out in the hall around the Oakland Amphitheater, the indoor one. And this guy heard this crash of glass and saw this like blurry, bloody tie-dye run by us and some cops chase him. And then he just ran into the crowd and got in, but he was bleeding, man.
And he blended into the crowd.
It's like everybody
ran through a plate glass window.
Yeah, that's what tie-dye looks like. Maybe that's why they wore it. It was camouflage for gate crashing.
Yeah. One of the best shows that I've been to was Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden.
I love Iron Maiden.
And it was on his little solo tour. I saw him at the Serenadenhof in Nuremberg. And I got my tickets to that show at a music store inside the Nuremberg train station.
The Nuremberg Trial Station.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Bruce Dickinson. And, you know, there's this new documentary out, or fairly new rockumentary, called Iron Maiden Flight 666. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
I've been channel flipping and run into it a couple times and watched it in sections. And DJ leaves the room because she doesn't like that kind of music. And I kind of love that kind of music. And even though it's really cheesy and it's very Spinal Tap-ish to me, and I think that actually Iron Maiden is probably the band that influenced Spinal Tap's whole thing and the whole story more than any of the other bands they were imitating. I dig them, man. And that guy looks great for, you know, 97 years old or however old he is.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he has a pretty good voice. And on the solo tour, the music was a bit different than Iron Maiden. It was more of a kind of a mainstream rock type thing, but it was still the hard rock. That album was called Tattooed Millionaire, and he did a cover of David Bowie's All the Young Dudes. and a lot of good songs on there, and it was just a really good show. And the drummer that was playing with him played for the opening band, which was called I Don't Remember, and neither does anybody else if you look at their career.
That's not the name of them. That's what you remember them as.
That's what I don't remember them as. No, it might have been Jagged Edge or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but I saw,
they went nowhere. They were no hit wonders.
I saw Faith No More one time open for Ozzy, and the drummer for Faith No More was playing for Ozzy. I think it's like, you know, Ozzy's drummer had like, you know, OD'd mid-tour or something, and they just grabbed the opening band's drummer, and he was great. I mean, you know, because all those guys probably grew up hearing all those songs all the time. But later, that guy quit Faith No More, and they broke up, and he became Ozzy's drummer. You know, the guy with the long, long dread ponytails.
Okay.
He might be the guy that Pickles the drummer in Death Clock is based on. He kind of looks like him.
All right. Or maybe he wound up being Ozzy's drummer. They said, look, you can sweep up the place afterwards or you can play drums with Ozzy.
That's what they do at some strip clubs, though. They make the new strippers also like clean up the ashtrays afterwards, too. So maybe they made him clean up and play drums at first.
Well, I'm sure it was voluntary. I'm sure they said, look, you can go back to being a nobody or you can sweep some floors and play drums with Ozzy.
Yeah. I met this guy outside an AA meeting in L.A. who was said that he was trying out for Ozzy. Ozzy needed like a bass player or a guitar player or something. And this guy was going to try out and he'd gotten sober to do it. And he was like, I don't know, man. I'm afraid. I mean, there's people who will literally kill to be in Ozzy's band. And he sounded really serious. I'm like, wow, that sounds dark, man.
What was really dark is getting sober to play with Ozzy.
Yeah. And actually, Ozzy's guitar player, one of his guitar players, Randy Rhoads, died on tour, dive bombing the tour bus in a crop duster, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a crop duster, but it was some little puddle jumper plane. And yeah, Randy Rhoads was a very good guitarist. He had music going or magic going through his fingers.
Yeah, man. And then some like female liberal talk show host named herself after him. Do you know about her? R-H-A-N-D-I Rhoads.
I've heard of her. I didn't know that she named herself after him.
She did. And yeah, she said she took his name because she respected him because he was so hardworking and committed to his goal, which he was. But she retired, she quit. Nobody could cut it in talk radio, man. I liked what Mark Edge said the other day. He said, you know, because those guys are like, I don't know, Mark's probably 35 and Ian's probably 31 or something. You know, they're really young for talk radio. And I'm 50 and I'm young for talk radio. And Ian said, you know, in 10 years, we're going to be the biggest talk because they've just gotten up to 160 stations, which I congratulate them. And that's awesome. And they said, yeah, man, one day we're going to be the biggest. Ian said, you know, one day we're going to be the biggest talk show there is. And Mark said, yeah, because we're just going to outlive everybody.
Yeah, well, the lefty talk show host, Their careers just don't seem to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you had that Air America, you know.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, Al Franken was their like tentpole, you know, their big rock star. That was before he was a congressman, but he was a Saturday Night Live host. And I heard an interview with him about why they crashed and burned. And basically why they crashed and burned is because liberals can't do talk radio. I don't like conservatives in general because they get things half wrong, you know, or more than half wrong, or they miss the premise. I agree with them that Obama's a tyrant and his feet stink. But, you know, we'll go into later about what we don't agree with them on. But conservatives are so good at invective. They're so good at the poison tongue, the poison pen and the poison tongue. And liberals aren't. Liberals just sound whiny. Whereas like, you know, Rush Limbaugh, like I don't agree with him, but I can listen to him and go, I am being stirred in my heart. And that's like kind of shameful to admit on a libertarian radio show, but they're really good at it. And liberals are really bad at it. And like it was something about mismanagement or something. And Al Franken said, you know, I should have known that was going to crash because I showed up for my first day of work for my first show. I went outside to have a cigarette. The door locked behind me, and I couldn't get back in, and I missed the first 10 minutes of my first show.
Oh, man, that's worse than when the NSA did that DDoS attack on my alarm clock.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, they took down somebody took down the Fiend site the other day for a day, but I've got it fixed. I won't say it's bulletproof now, but it's and you may experience issues of where it takes a few hours after an episode is posted for the new episode to come up. You could just hit Control F and it'll refresh your browser and it'll come up. It's a caching thing that's going to make the site work a lot better, but it won't necessarily like update immediately. But be patient, because I would rather have us up more and in perpetuity than instantly and sometimes. You know, it's a trade-off. That's how the web works, man. You got to trade one thing for another. So we were going to talk about enough about rock and roll and Bruce Dickinson and how
Freddie Mercury.
Oh, did you know that Derek J is secretly happily married to Natalie Merchant?
No, I did not.
Yeah. After he hung up on me twice on my own show the other day, I found that out and decided to tell everybody that.
Okay. He seems more like a Sarah McLachlan type.
No, man. He's a rocker. He's a rocker. He said the funniest thing to me that I can't say on air, but I'll just... That's the kind of radio this is. There's an inside joke for one listener, and it's Derek J. I'm just going to say, Derek, you are Mick Jagger, my brother. Okay, go on. No one gets that except Derek. That's between me and him. Derek's laughing his butt off right now, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm a rocker, but I like Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah, but Derek J is Mick freaking Jagger. He'll get it. He knows. All right, so we're going to make fun of the government because it's so easy. It's kind of like... I don't know. You know, I was never a schoolyard bully. It's kind of like being a schoolyard bully, but against the real bully. So it's okay. But it's so easy, you know? It's like the government has like four eyes and three faces and steals your lunch money. It's easy to make fun of them.
Yeah, let's drop some mad scientists when we get back
to
the market.
We'll drop some mad scientists, man. All right, worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Meow, 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 meow.
And this is the Freedom Fiends. This is Steve Sander, yowling along with Michael W. Dean, who stepped away to go pet Fuzzy or brush him or just do some sort of cat human master slave interaction. And the cat is the master and the humans are the slaves, because that's the cat human relationship. But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about this article that I came across. A couple weeks ago, I was on the show with Derek J, and I made a comment that not even Google can find something that a problem that government has solved. And a few days later, I was thinking about it. I says, let me plug that into Google and find out maybe there is something that government has solved. And I put it in, and it didn't bring up anything specific. But what it did bring up was this particular article. And it's from governmentisgood.com. And it's called The Forgotten Achievements of Government. And don't know, I kind of think that people forgot about because they didn't happen. But anyway, the article starts off with the typical state baiting. And state baiting, by the way, is similar to race baiting, except it's to promote the state and basically how we can't survive without the state, and without it we would all be dead and in prison camps and droning ourselves and everything else, which is all stuff that goes along with states. But anyway, so it starts off with, although conservatives portray government as incompetent, public sector programs have actually amassed an admirable record of success
in
a wide variety of policy areas.
Yeah.
And it also, welcome back, Michael.
Thank you. What are you going on and on about?
I'm talking about state? This. I'm talking about this article on ilovethestate.gov.
That's not what it is.
Yeah.
It but might anyway, as well be.
Yeah. So it lists some of the stereotypes, and it's got some jokes on here. And the first one is, how many government workers does it take to screw in a light bulb? Two. One to screw it in and one to screw it up.
It's
and
true.
I've heard that one before.
It's more like six or seven of each, but yeah.
Yeah. And there's one that I haven't heard of before, but I absolutely love. It says, how many government bureaucrats does it take to screw in a light bulb? Two. One to assure everything possible is being done while the other screws the bulb into the water faucet.
Yeah. I can think of another one. I don't really know how to word it, but it'd be something like, four. One to not do it and four to explain how you're better without it.
Okay.
You know, there was a punk rock one that could somehow.
Hang on. Let me interrupt. Five. What you said, and then one to tell you that only government can do it.
Yeah, there was a. I like light bulb jokes, man. How many punk rockers does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
There's two answers to this. One is, actually, there's three answers. Two, one to do it, no, ten. One to do it and nine to tell you that the old one was better back in the old days. Two, one to do it and one to kick the chair out from underneath him. And what's the other one? The one I really like. Oh, ten. One to do it and nine to get on the guest list.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah.
But punk rockers don't even use light bulbs. They just light torches, grab their pitchforks, and, you know, start doing their thing.
Because they're anarchists. They're really not, though, man. Anarchy was, like, such a symbol in punk rock back in the 80s when I was into it. And I met a lot of European punk rockers that were really anarchists, but they were left anarchists. But a lot of American anarchists, you know, punk rockers with an anarchy symbol on their leather jacket, they were the first people to vote for Democrats because they thought Republicans were so bad because, you know, the dead Kennedys wrote songs about how bad Ronald Reagan was, which he was horrible. But even Jell-O is like, hey, I don't like Obama because he hasn't delivered on all his promises, you know, not because he's murdering people like George or, you know, Reagan did.
Yeah, the modern lefty anarchists are, I hate the government. It's illegitimate. It needs to go away. But not until after they mandate this $15 an hour minimum wage with a 10% increase each year.
Yeah, that's so square. You know, Nima Vedati and I had an episode one time called something like, any musician who backs any politician is more square than their dad. Something like that. And it's really true, man. There's nothing cool about backing any politician. You're square, you're old-fashioned, you're wanting to be protected and controlled instead of taking control of your own life. It's very unpunk and very un-rock and roll to back any politician. And any musician who does it, even if their music's good, it shouldn't be a boycott. You should just be like, I don't listen to that. Because, you know, no one pays for music anymore. You just download it anyway. You can't really boycott downloading it for free, but just don't listen to it, man. It's going to infect your soul. We'll be back with more in Hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends with Lusander Fien and I telling us why we're right and most of the world is wrong. But the people listening are probably partially right, at least, because they're still listening. Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, meow, meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, broadcasting live worldwide from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural, wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And on the other end, who do we got here on the inner tubes with me?
This is Lusander Fiend, the titanium meerkat, dropping mad scientists all over the place.
Yep. And speaking of well-paid scientists, we're going to play a Dead Kennedy song called Riot. And while the cuss dump builds, let me read some of the lyrics here. Rioting. And this isn't dedicated to the rioters. The rioters are horrible in Missouri. The cops probably killed an unarmed person. It looks that way. And, you know, the cops are trying to say the opposite. I always side with the non-cops in stuff like that because they do stuff like that most of the time. It's probably the cops. But it's no reason to go hurt people and destroy the property of people that have nothing to do with those cops, man. And
what's a special holiday? You know, if somebody gets killed, you get a free TV. It's kind of like a weird offshoot of Christmas.
What did you say before? Flat-screen TV is a terrible thing to waste.
Yeah.
And I said, ugh. Which is reference to a TV commercial from our youth. And it had this kid in it, like, sitting in a chair and disappearing, like the Cheshire Cat, to nothing till the chair was empty at the end of the commercial. And the tagline was, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And it was a college fun thing. And I actually used that. I was influenced by that in a movie. You've never seen my Hubert Selby Jr. movie. It's a documentary about the author of Last Exit to Brooklyn and Requiem for a Dream. I filmed my interviews with him for it like 3 months before he died. And it came out about a year after he died. And during the time after he died, I was like gathering more interviews with people that knew him and worked with him. And getting footage of him that had, you know, that we could use in it from friends and family and things like that. And there were these guys in France who'd come to America to interview him, and they shot like 3 hours of footage with him, and they made a documentary and only used like 40 minutes of it. And they let me use anything they did not use. And one of the things they did not use was at the end of the interview, you know, he was sitting in the chair talking and laughing. And then he got up to go in the other room and show them some photos and let them take pictures of him. And they left the video camera on the tripod on the chair, like just filming the empty chair after he got up, which made it perfectly easy to do that effect. And the movie ends with talking about him dying in his wife's arms at home peacefully, which is a great way to die, especially after having such a traumatic life like he did. And you're looking at the film and it's like he's there, you know, it goes, there's voiceover. It's Robert Downey Jr. doing the voiceover, and there's some, you know, tinkling solo minor key piano music playing in the background. And he just fades into oblivion, like into just an empty chair. And it was so cool. And it was to be able to do that footage existed, to be able to do that trick. And it was definitely influenced by the Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste commercial, which influenced also the name of a record by Ministry, A Mind is a Terrible Thing to Taste. Although the best Ministry album cover or album title, since they were junkies, they have one called Dark Side of the Spoon, which I think is pretty funny. So
Dark Side of the Spoon and album cover.
Yeah.
Groovy.
Yep. So we're going to play this Dead Kennedy song. It says the lyrics are rioting, the unbeatable high. Adrenaline shoots your nerves to the sky. Everyone knows this town's going to blow, and it's all going to blow right now. It says you can smash all the windows that you want. All you really need are some friends and a rock. Throwing a brick. And I am not glorifying rioting. I think it's horrible and it's scary and it's misdirected. There's a line in here that says, and burn your own neighborhood to the ground, which is what people always do in rioting. And you know, it talks about like the police, you know, their trigger fingers want an excuse. So let's go ahead and listen to some of this. I'm going to do some creative editing on the air to make it radio friendly. And here we go. Riot by Dead Kennedys.
Rioting, the unbeatable high. Adrenaline shoots your nerves to the sky.
Yeah.
Everyone knows this town is gonna blow, and it's all gonna blow right now.
felt so damn good. Smash more glass, scream with a laugh, and what a with the crowds, watch them kicking kibbles.
Tomorrow you're homeless, tonight it's a blast. That's what my friend used to quote that line when talking about methamphetamine use. It's pretty apropos for that too, I think.
Yeah, I would say so. On this rioting, there's nothing worse than saying, I'm mad at the cops, so I'm going to burn down the store that I shop at.
Yeah, and let me read some of the important lines in here, other than tomorrow you're homeless, tonight it's a blast, and burn your own neighborhood to the ground, which is what people are always doing. Let's see. Now could be your only chance to torch a police car. Get your kicks in quick. They're calling the National Guard. Let's loot that spiffy hi-fi store. Grab as much as you can hold. Pray your full arms don't fall off. Here comes the owner with a gun. The barricades spring up from nowhere. Cops in helmets line the lines. Shotguns prod into your bellies. Their trigger fingers want an excuse. It's all over, but not quite. The cops have just begun to fight. They club your head, kick your teeth. Police can riot all that they please. That's kind of the line there that makes the most sense and is the most important, and it kind of summarizes the whole song, because okay, this was a riot. This was citizens rioting, and police came in, and it was a reaction to a police thing. But a lot of times there's a peaceful protest, and the cops come and start aggression.
Escalate it.
Or slip a false flag person in there. You know, there's another Dead Kennedys line, I'll slip on a wig and see if I can start a riot. It's about government infiltration in a song called I Am the Owl. And, the news always paints it in favor of the police. They always say there was a riot, not a police riot. It was a riot. The police often did it. But in this case in Missouri, the police may or may not have done something horrible to somebody who didn't deserve it. I'm guessing, since the police are rushing so quickly to say it wasn't our fault and witnesses are saying the opposite.
He shot himself.
Yeah.
10 times.
Yeah, we've heard that before. But, this is real rioting, and it's really crazy stuff. And makes me glad I live in Wyoming. Not that anything bad never happens here, but it's far less likely than in a lot of places. And a lot of citizens are armed here, too, and would probably band together to defend their homes and businesses. Have you seen those pictures of the business owners in Missouri?
Yes,
standing
I have.
Standing with AR-15s and body armor in front of that tattoo shop, protecting it?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Alex Jones interviewed the owner of the gun shop that operates in the lobby of the tattoo parlor.
Yeah.
And they didn't get messed with. But here's something I want to point out, and this is to our lefty friends out there, those that don't like
your
the police state.
Well, I got a couple.
Whatever. But anyway, they don't like the police state at all. Not one darn bit. But they also believe that cops and soldiers are the only ones that should have guns. Well, guess what? When cops and soldiers are the only ones that have guns, multiply what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri right now by 1,000. And that is your vision.
Yeah, that's your paradise, man.
Yeah. One of your goals does not match up with the other.
All right, we're going to go sell some stuff here. To y'all. We'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Meow, 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 meow.
So, Lou, speaking of the free market, ever since about, a couple months ago, 6 weeks ago or something, I've stopped selling Fiends buttons. Like, no one's buying them anymore. And I asked my wife about that. I'm like, why do you think that is? Like, we've been selling, steadily like 2 or 3 packs of them a week for, 3 years. Why aren't we selling any? And she's like, well, how many did you give away at Porkfest? And I said, oh, about 2,700. And she's like, you saturated the market. I'm like, duh. Okay. Thank you. I didn't, it just didn't cross my mind. That's why I'm not rich. Cause I don't even put things like that together sometimes.
You're not a very good greedy capitalist. And speaking of Fiends buttons, you can get some from me at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest.
Do you have
August
some?
22nd. Oh yeah. I got a whole bag of them.
You got 700. All right. Cool, man. Excellent. Excellent. So let's make fun of the governments more.
Okay. Going back to that governmentisgood.com, which I believe redirects to ilovethestate.gov.
Is it really a .gov site?
No.
Okay.
No.
Who made us? I didn't even notice.
Like the government can make a website that works.
I know. Yeah. I know. Man, I thought this was an article on some lefty site. I didn't notice that the website was governmentisgood.com. That's hilarious.
It's pure state
baiting. While you criticize this, I'm going to do some crackhead research team and find out who's financing this. If it's, you know, Cass Sunstein or something, or, you know, the Department of Defense.
Well, it looks like the person.
It's a guy from the Huffy. It's a professor of politics at Mount Holyoke, Massachusetts, and a writer. He's a writer for the Huffington Post. So is he just really? He just loves government.
That's probably the case. He might get some financial backing from the Stockholm Syndrome Institute.
Yeah.
But all right. So
Americans for a Progressive America, Americanly Now in America.
Yeah, something like that, or, you know, get on the cattle cars, slave. But anyway, an initial list of government achievements. Regulation of the business cycle. Until the financial crisis that began in 2008, most of us had forgotten how dependent we are on the federal government to prevent economic depressions. Since the 1930s, the government has used a variety of monetary and fiscal policies to limit the natural boom and bust cycles of the economy, because it is natural. Yeah. This guy's obviously not an economist. He's a Keynesian.
By the way, I just sent you another article he wrote called Taxes Are Good. But go on.
Oh my God. I'm trying to get over the government flu. What are you trying to do? Give me a relapse here? I'm going to start coughing and sneezing and hacking and gagging. And oh my God.
He has a book. Anyway. He wrote a book called Government Is Good. And I'm looking at reviews on Amazon. And one of them gave it one star and said the title is, the review is Trite, Masturbatory, Fallacy Laden Garbage.
Yes.
And the next one isn't worth the matches it would take to burn it.
Ooh.
And another one is, this book is saying that violence is good. See, I like that about liberty, that there's like enough people now, like anytime you see somebody being this statist, there are people who jump in and shout them down. It's a good thing, man. And that's what we're doing. And if we reach just one 70-year-old grandpa in his reindeer sweater, driving his kids from church to the VFW picnic at 2 a.m, then we'll help change it. Well, I usually talk about the Sunday show, but, you know.
Drive time in Sturgis.
Yeah, man. Drive time.
Good morning, Sturgis.
Good morning, Sturgis. And Sundance. Yep. So go on.
So anyway, yeah, and he talks about different bank runs like 1819, 1837, yada, yada, yada. Thanks to government intervention, we have been able to avoid the enormous amount of human suffering caused by these massive economic meltdowns. All right.
He's giving examples of when the government temporarily put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound the government caused.
Yeah, when it reinflated the bubble.
Yeah.
So
every 40 years.
Yeah. You know what? I'd like to offer a subtitle to this show called Your Logical Fallacy Is Government.
It should be a segment. It'd be a segment. Yeah.
Yeah. And the reality is, with the business cycle, as F. A. Hayek wrote in his 1974 Nobel Prize winning paper, that the boom and bust of the business cycle is actually caused by the monetary interventions of central banking, the expansions of credit, artificially low interest rates, and all that other nonsense. But as far as regulating the business cycle goes, the last time somebody really profoundly announced that the business cycle had been conquered was in late September, early October of 1929.
Yeah, and look what happened. Great Oops. Depression, if you don't know. We'll be back. We're going to go sell some things and make some money for the world.
With Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Fix some broken windows.
Teasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right, New Sander. I have a robo voice. Do you have a robo voice, New Sander?
I don't know.
I think so.
I think I have like the regular government flu voice, or getting over the government flu.
How is your government flu?
It was pretty bad last week. I was on Randall Parker's show, Roads to Liberty, and kind of scratchy and had to hit the mute button to cough and sneeze and all that other stuff. But I'm getting better now. But I think this article is giving me a relapse. I'm catching the government flu computer virus.
Yeah, the Legionnaire's disease. So I wanted to explain before we go back to this article, the title of this show is going to be Voting Will Turn You Into Your Parents. Lou didn't think that was that funny. I thought it was pretty funny because, you know, I mean, what better thing to tell, you know, people of a certain age to turn them off to something, you know, like, you know, you think about like the age you were when your fate, you know, or your friend may have had this experience where they really liked a band and then suddenly their dad or mom says, oh, that singer's really cute. I kind of like to hum along with this. And it's like immediately the kid goes and listens to some other band. There was a campaign in the 60s of getting rock stars to make PSAs for radio condemning methamphetamine or amphetamine then.
You know, Rock Against Drugs?
Rock Against – I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was government-funded or private. Probably government, but it was the Speed Kills campaign. And it's where the term speed kills came from. You know, they paid some ad agency to come up with that phrase, speed kills. And they had rock stars do it. And I know that they had like Jim Morrison, they recorded him but didn't use it because he was like, all right, kids, don't take speed. Drink instead. Drink lots. Drink a whole lot. It's better for you. You know,
so was Keith Richards in there too?
I don't think so. But they used Frank Zappa's, and I really liked Frank Zappa's. And Frank Zappa did not do drugs and was against the drug war, but he was adamantly against his employees, his band, using drugs and would fire them if they were using drugs. And he was a real hard worker and, you know, kind of libertarian in his own way.
He's like us.
Yeah, he was involved in politics too, but he was doing the best he could with what he had, which is what people did before the internet and before anarcho-capitalist garage band rock stars like Lou Sander and I were there to tell him how it is. But Frank Zappa made this one, and the rock stars all wrote their own slogans. And Frank Zappa's was simply speed will turn you into your parents. And I really like that. And I kind of agree, you know, speed, you know, if people look at in the 60s, looked at the generation before them, you know, they were all driven. They were all like climbing the corporate ladder. They were all cut, you know, kind of cutthroat. They were all like caring about, you know, shiny things. And that's what speed turns you into is that kind of a monster version of that. So speed will turn you into your parents, said Frank Zappa. And the Freedom Fiends say voting will turn you into your parents. And that's the name of the show today. So we're talking to somebody who's probably a parent. He's a college professor at Holyoke. And he wrote a book called Government is Good. Yeah, Government is Good. And we're reading from an essay he wrote and making fun of it. Go ahead there, Lou.
Yeah. And the unofficial subtitle of this episode is Your Logical Fallacy is Government. So anyway, yeah, he goes on a, you know, I'm going to go back to Zappa. If he had lived long enough to have a Facebook page and a profile, I'm sure he would have been an ANCAP by now.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been on Facebook, though. He would have been too busy, I think he invented the term studio tan. He had a record called Studio Tan, which is what they called when you had, like me, like very white with no tan, like you're never out in the sun. You're always in a recording studio. And that was Frank Zappa. He was a relentless worker to the point where, like, he built a huge home studio and most of the time wouldn't even let his family knock on his basement door, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And your ethnic heritage is English, Irish, flower, and Elmer's glue.
Yeah. My lineage goes back to when the Anglos met the Saxons, which is basically when white meant bread. That's a Simpsons line, I had to say.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, he's got a whole bunch of different state baiting on here, and there's just pages and pages of it.
What's his name again for those tuning in? Who's this guy we're making fun of? He's horrible.
Douglas Amy.
That's a girl's name.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, he talks about the success of the public health programs, and of course he's a Rhodes scholar.
Rhodes.
So he talks about the interstate highway system, and I'm going to touch on this for a little bit. The federal government did not get involved in roads and infrastructure projects for the most part until 1926, when Do Nothing Calvin Coolidge signed off on some act that essentially nationalized the roads.
And they were actually just building military landing strips, because the design of the interstate highway system is such that it never goes, no matter what terrain they're on, they never let it go more than 20 miles without a strip long enough to land an airplane.
Yeah, which, If you're thinking about preventing foreign invasion, that would make you an idiot.
I know, because it would be like, come on down. We cleared away. We cleared a path for you.
Well, supposedly Eisenhower credits the Autobahn as his inspiration for the interstate highway system, but he drove the Autobahn into Berlin. So
during the war.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, if you look in the – it was in 1911, Carl Fisher privately built a highway from San Francisco, California to Philadelphia. It was called the Lincoln Highway, which is also attributed with being the inspiration for Eisenhower's Keynesian dig a ditch, fill a ditch scheme.
Yeah.
He built another one that went from Canada down to Miami Beach. And incidentally, he developed most of Miami Beach at the time. And that was called the Dixie Highway. And he did this without a single tax dollar, without a single toll booth. And he did this by soliciting contributions from local businesses, corporations. Even Woodrow Wilson dug into his filthy pockets and gave $5,000 out of his own money.
Here's another thing. This guy, Professor Amy, who has a girl's name, has a section on his website. He basically coined this phrase, "the war." He's fighting against the war on government. Freedom fiends fighting the war on government with our mouths.
Oh, I'm cringing. And more on the interstate pothole
moron,
system.
Moron being the operative phrase there.
Yeah, if you don't have less on, you have moron.
Moron.
But anyway, by 1860, all but two states had amended their state constitutions to prohibit public funding of roads and infrastructure projects, presumably because of rampant corruption and incompetence.
Oh, yeah. So, without the government, who would build the roads? People that aren't taking kickbacks in a mafioso fashion. People who actually get it done under budget and on time.
Yeah. He also talks about Social Security and Medicare. And how are those doing financially right now? What's the fiscal solvency of those?
Yeah, the roads. Yeah, and the thing is, too, what I always point out, the roads are already built, man.
Yeah, and they would be built without government.
Although, if the government started to collapse, I really believe that people in the government who didn't want the world to exist without the government would probably take dynamite and start blowing up roads. I really believe it.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd fail at that, too. No, actually, destruction is one of the things that they
great.
Do accomplish.
They do it well. Yeah, those statists, filthy statists.
Yeah. He also talks about the beauty of federal deposit insurance. And if you look at the concept of federal deposit insurance, what it is, and this goes back to the regulation of the business cycle, what federal deposit insurance is, it's a disincentive to operating a financial system in a smart, reputable way. Essentially, what it does is it socializes the losses. And incidentally, the funds for FDIC are way below where they should be, and the cost is socialized to the tax cattle.
Yeah.
Let's see now. GI Bill, Federal Housing Authority. Federal Housing Authority. Yeah. Government intervention in the housing market. Yeah. How's that working out? Did he mention something in 2008? And if you want a really good read, Google Boston Fed Closing the Gap. And that talks about where lenders are encouraged to loan money to people without a credit history, without verified income or anything else. But it's only encouraged. It's not required. And I believe that it also talks about the fines for not voluntarily complying with this.
Yeah.
Let's see now. Consumer protection. Oh, yeah, they're just doing a bang-up job on there. Yeah, I personally think Underwriter Laboratories does a lot more for consumer protection.
And they're not the government. A lot of people think they are, and people think that the Better Business Bureau are the government. They are not. They're both private.
Yeah.
You know what? Consumer Reports is a great magazine, and that's private. And it's like, you know, without the government, who would protect you from buying the lemon car? You know, Road and Track, Car and Driver, Consumer Reports.
Yeah, and if you want to know about consumer protection, just remember every time you're watching phone news or the Collectivist News Network and you see a commercial soliciting lawsuits against a pharmaceutical company, just remember that every last one of those medications was approved by the FDA, and that's how it got on the market.
Also, MSLSD is another network.
Or MSDNC.
MSLSD. And then there's the weaponized LSD that makes you gay. That people were taking the other night while calling into the Fiends and watching the meteor shower. And I believe that analog of LSD that was developed by the government during Operation Desert Storm is called LSLBGT.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was going to say that, but Derek J hung up on me on my own show before I got to explain that. And that's why I'm really wanting people to know that he is secretly married to Natalie Merchant, and they're very happy, and she's pregnant with his child, I think.
They're having kittens.
Kittens.
Well, actually, he's a warrant canary, so maybe they're having chicks. But here's one of my personal favorites, anti-discrimination policies. Since the 1960s, policies like the Civil Rights Act and Title IX have chalked up impressive gains in decreasing discriminations against minorities and women. Yeah, I remember when you were talking with that filthy status in San Francisco.
Which one? That guy broke my brain. That guy, okay, but people don't know, there's an episode of Anarchy Gumbo at kittyfeet.com where I did a radio interview with a 10,000 watt AM radio morning drive time station in the Bay Area. Actually, I wish I'd known Davi better then. He probably is in the listening area of that. It's in Silicon Valley. And it's a total, like, all communism, all the time, lefty talk radio station. I think there's three or four of them in America. And
they're all in California. They're all in San Francisco.
Yeah. And that guy, I mean, talk about logical fallacy after logical fallacy. He was defending the state like he was defending his lover. And that was a perfect example of that. He had the style of debate where it's like you're debating a pigeon, where, you know, the pigeon will knock over all the pieces on the board, crap on the board, flap his wings, squawk, and then say he won. That's what that guy did.
And don't forget strut around, too.
Yes, strut around.
Yeah, I remember him yelling at you, it took a big government to repeal segregation and all this other stuff. And my response to that is, well, gee, tell me about the tiny powerless government that implemented segregation in the first place.
Yeah. And the sheriffs and governors that tried to keep segregation going after it was outlawed.
Yeah. Okay. Talking to people like that is like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree.
Yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah.
Whee!
So, if y'all are playing the home version and listening on the radio or the streaming links instead of listening to the podcast later, which you should be listening live, because it's live, man. It's happening right now. If you're listening, you should realize that when I sing along and it's a little bit off time, not off key, but off time, it's on time here in my room, and it's on time on the podcast, but it's off time on the radio and on the streaming links, because there's about a quarter of a second it takes it to go back and then go through the satellites and all that stuff. So from what I'm hearing to what it's going back, but if you notice, it's consistently off. It's the same amount off, which means it really is on. So Lou, how's your training?
Not too bad. And for those of you playing the home game, when I sing off key here, it's off key everywhere.
It's off key here. Yeah, it's off key in your place too. All right.
Yeah, we're gonna switch over to some redemption in the third act.
Yay.
If you want to see more of this state baiting, the government is good. Michael's gonna link in the show notes, and you can go there. And I haven't gotten too much of a computer virus from reading it, although it has given me brain rot. It's like trying to nail Jill to a tree.
Because we're no government men. I'm so small government. I make Ron Paul look like FDR.
Yes. Yes, and thank you for stealing my line.
You stole that from me, man. I made that up, and I posted that, and that was the thing that got retweeted by the guy Grover Norquist. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I didn't steal it.
The guy who
homesteaded it.
You homesteaded it.
He's lacking principles.
You added an adverb. You're squatting it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Homesteading, not squatting. I'm not some dirty ANCOM. When I drop mad science, I pick it up. I don't leave a mess laying around.
Please pick up your mad scientist that you've dropped at the end of the show.
But anyway, yeah, Redemption of the Third Act. I wasn't on last Wednesday night like I was scheduled to be. The Laughing Kitty filled in for me, so thank you, Diana.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, I was off at a training last week. For those of you that don't know, I work in the mental health field, and I was off getting training for a state certification. And what was really interesting was
You should just set up a little booth and say psychiatry 5 cents, like Lucy and the Peanuts, and do it on the street corner.
Who says I don't? But
it's not square. You have to do it if you want to play in their game. Yeah, if you want to play in their game, their pool.
Or actually, a fifth of an ounce of silver. But anyway, it's all recovery based. So it focuses on mental health issues. So mental illness, substance abuse, alcohol abuse, stuff like that.
I think the government needs a 12-step program, and they need to make amends to everyone.
Yeah,
maybe that's what that data center in Utah is. It's just to have enough space to store their eighth step in text form.
Mm-hmm. And if you really want to go into recovery, you have to go cold turkey from government. You can't have limited heroin use or limited government. You got to go all the way
or
cold
limited
turkey.
Speed use, man, because voting will turn you into your parents, just like speed will.
Yeah, if you do just a little bit of speed, you'll wind up voting for the LP or the Greens or something like that. But you mentioned this in your book, A User's Manual to the Human Experience. Recovery is an individual thing. I can't recover for somebody who has heroin addiction. No matter how many videos I watch of people doing crunches and everything else, it's not going to knock any of the weight off my belly. I have to actually go to Pork Fest and walk everywhere uphill both ways to knock that 10 pounds off and keep it off. Which I dropped 7 there. I dropped another 3 when I came back. But there were so many, how could I put it, the mentality of the group that was in there, a lot of them are more leftist, and they're definitely statist. But here they are cheering anarchic principles, because when you're looking at this particular treatment model, and it's called patient-centered care, it's self-determination. It's individual effort. Because, like I said, nobody can recover for anybody else. And you have to determine how you want to recover. So,
from the state or from doing crocodile speedballs with paid ladies who are actually men. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, mental illness, Stockholm Syndrome, which, by the way, is not in the DSM. But get over your Stockholm Syndrome Institute. Come over to Liberty.
Worms.
We welcome you with open arms, and go to the Michigan Peace and Liberty Fest.
Yep.
MIPLC.org.
I'm going to post it in the show notes. I usually only do that on the weekend, but it's coming up and you're on tonight, so I'm putting it on, man. It's good stuff.
Wimes. As we say in Jersey.
Great time, Lou. Thank you, man. Thank you for your service, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had. Wimes. Ha 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 ha.